Jesus paid it all. That was the invitation song the night after on the parking lot in Plant City, Florida. Close on the church was in Turkey Creek. Okay, it's both began with the letter T, so we're close. But it was a Haver Baptist church. Some of you know that church. It's been there a long time as well. Brother Boyer was our pastor, a very intelligent man in the Word of God, taught the Word of God in his messages, and I had the privilege of being there a long time. A lot of my foundation was established at that church. Now, I've been asked to do the sign language, which I reluctantly very well do. It's not hard for me to do that, okay? It's very simple. Since 1965, I've been voicing and signing at the same time. I ought to be able to do something, right? All right. Recent poll said to me, and I checked that again this morning, that 63% of white men are angry. Just a little bit less than that, white women are angry. In all of America, more than one half of the people that they questioned on this poll said that they become angry at least twice a day. I would say to you that I believe that the anger begins with fear. You think about that. We're afraid of losing our job. We're afraid of losing our money. We're afraid of losing our house. We're afraid of terror. I get it right there. Terrorists. Many times people will ask me, aren't you afraid to fly? And you sit there because I try to always sit on the aisle seat so that my long legs can stick out and trip people. You see people come walking down that aisle. And once in a while, the idea will pop into your mind, I wonder about that person. But you have to trust God, right? And so, anger. The Bible describes the day in which we are living right now in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 as perilous times. And Jesus, you remember in Luke chapter 17, gave us two illustrations of the last days in Noah and Lot. Noah as an illustration of the violence of people, and certainly if you read the newspapers, you read about that today. And Lot as sodomites. And all of those things that we hear almost daily over the news, the radio, the newspaper. And we are told that we need to accept those as normal. That's the day that we live. 144 times in the Bible, in our KJV Bible, you have this thing, it says, fear not. 144 times. Now that's only those two words in that order, fear not. I read just recently, one man said that there were 365 fear nots in the Bible. One for every day of the year. Now, I couldn't find that many, but there's probably some way that he has invented that number. 144 times, fear not. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, this is Paul writing to the young man named Timothy. And he said that God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Now, I believe that if we would talk about this sound mind, what does it mean to have a sound mind? Well, it means one thing is to think straight. It means that there are some things that you better naturally feel fear for because it's dangerous. And I would say, how many of you know Highway 60 in Brandon? If you've ever driven on that road at 5:30 in the afternoon, you had better not stand in the middle on either side and say, I trust God, I have faith, and I'm not afraid. That's dumb. Not sound mind, sound thinking, right? I would say to you, offer to you the idea that the opposite of fear is not courage, but faith. The opposite of fear is faith. I could not stand here and quote, even if I could, the many, many, many verses in the Bible that talk about faith, believe, trust. But I would like to think about this idea of faith. You remember three times in the Bible it says that the just shall live by faith? Yeah. And each time that it is written, its emphasis is on the different words in that verse. The just shall live by faith. We live by faith, not by sight. Now, there's simply three ideas that I would like to share with you. One is the definition of faith, the development of faith, and the demonstration of faith. Just think about that this morning. And I'm going to forget the clock. He told me to. But then when you begin to leave and I smell the food, we'll soon stop, okay? Definition of faith, you know the verse, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, many, many people think of that verse and this substance. What does that mean? It really means the support or the foundation of what you believe is by faith. Evidence, we know what that means, don't we? Well, when you sign it, you sign proof. It is the proof that we need. So I condense, because I'm always looking for easy ways to sign to the deaf so that they will understand. And I say to them, faith is simply believing God's word and doing it. Simply believing God's word and doing it. Hebrews chapter 11 I've said this before, standing right here. Many of us know that chapter as Hebrews, heroes of faith, right? All of those names from the Old Testament. And after a while, Paul gets tired of explaining them all, and he says, you know, and he begins to just name the people. Living by faith. But there was more. I believe that chapter 11 should be called the heroes of obedience. Think about it. They heard the word of God and did what God told them to do. That's faith. Faith without works is dead, James writes, and that's what he means. They showed that. In Acts chapter 27, and I'll not tell the story because you will have that in Sunday school class here. But in Acts chapter 27, Paul told the people of the boat, stay there. And they said, well, Paul's a preacher. He doesn't understand how to sail. And you remember the storm came up and the ship was bouncing around and not eaten for several days, a couple of weeks maybe, it seems to indicate. And one day Paul stands up and he said, hey, and this ship is going like this, so I'm sure he's holding on like this as he bounces around. And he said, hey folks, let's eat. Can you imagine picking up a fork and where's your mouth? Oh yeah, here it is. As the ship is going back, and he said, let's eat. And they think that he's crazy, okay? But he said, last night, angel of God stood by and said to me, fear not, Paul. All of the people on this ship will be saved. All the ship will be lost. It's going to be finished. And Paul made a little bit of a on the people. He said, you should have listened to me. But now you're going to lose the boat. But all of the people are going to be saved. And this is what he said. As this ship is going back and forth, up and down, being filled with water, almost to the place of sinking. And he said, God told me that, and I believe him. That's faith. That's faith in a difficult time, just like we are living right now. Okay? Now, let's talk about this, the development of faith, because you remember one time the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. You remember what Jesus answered? Interesting. He said, if you had the faith as a grain of mustard seed. How many of you have ever seen a mustard seed? That's little, isn't it? I have a little jar like this on a chain that somebody gave me. It probably has 15 or 20 seeds in that little jar. Well, in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. There's a verse there that really bothers me. Because it says that Jesus could not do many wonderful works because of their unbelief. Later, you remember, Jesus would go up onto the mountain and he would be changed. And Peter and John were there with him. And they, that's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And when they finished and they came down, they see this crowd of people there with the other disciples. And this man comes to Jesus and he said, "Would you please heal my son? Your disciples could not do it." Well, Jesus healed his son. And later the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Why could we not do that?" And he said, "Because of your unbelief." And that one goes out only by prayer and fasting. Their unbelief. Unbelief. I've often wondered about how much I have limited the work of God because of my unbelief, the lack of faith. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it gives us one way that we can increase our faith. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to increase your faith and believe more in God so that it can be said about you that you limited God because of your unbelief? Come to the word of God. It's the Word of God that tells us about the character of God. Like in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, it says that God cannot lie. He will always say the truth. He cannot lie. He cannot change according to Malachi. That's the character of God. You can trust Him. You can have faith in Him that He will do His word. You think about the promises that God has made in the Bible. Just think about what's your favorite promise. You can have faith that God will keep that. So we can have that because the Word of God describes those kinds of things for us. We come to the Word. We read it. But there's another way that we can increase our faith, and that is because of our experiences. You remember David, when his father said, "Go to the war and bring food for your brothers," and when he arrived there, this giant of a man is cursing God and all of those kind of things, and David said, is nobody going to meet him? You remember he said, "I will." So he goes to the king Saul, and they try the armor on and all of this. And Saul said, "You can't do that." You remember what David said? He said, "The Lord delivered me. There was a bear that came from my few sheep." I like that. That was his brother's talk. "You go back and take care of those few sheep." And he said, "I killed a bear. There was a lion." Now, I don't know if you, I have only seen a lion in the zoo. But I've looked at that rascal. And I don't think I want to wrestle with him. Now, we cleaned an office in Grand Rapids, Michigan before, and this man was a hunter, and he had killed a grizzly bear and had him stuffed. I look up like this at that grizzly bear, and he's like this, you know. I'm not sure that I want to wrestle a bear. But David said, God delivered me out of those two animals, and God will deliver me out of the hands of this giant. Why did he have faith in God? Because of his past experience. Well, this last year, it seems strange to say that 2015 now is last year, okay? But 2015, in April, planned to go to Kenya. Tuesday, 2 weeks before we're to fly, I bought 2 airplane tickets, $2,500. Wednesday morning, I received an email from the pastor in Kenya. And he said, Brother Jim, I just want to inform you that all of the deaf schools are closed the whole month of April. I would like to think that I am holy. Okay? But in a minute, I peeled myself off of the roof of our house. And I thought, Pastor, did you know that the schools are closed in Kenya for the whole month of April? Did you understand that when we set the dates? Now, I'm sure that the answer is yes. But then I continued to read the letter. And it says, but we would like to have, a deaf camp. Yeah, okay. That's a good idea. That's the type of ministry that we had in Brazil. We would go into an area where there is nothing for the deaf, and we would have a week of deaf camp. And they would all come, and some would be saved, and we would find a church and begin a ministry in that area for the deaf. So, yeah, that would be fine. And then I continued to read, and it's going to cost $3,000. Well, I knew the rest of that sentence. And we don't have the money. I thought and I tried to keep calm. But when I peel myself off of the ceiling for the second time, I began to think. And I was not quite as mean to God as I was to the pastor, all right? But I said, God, you knew that the schools were closed in April when we established the dates for us to come. You think he did? Yes, I agree. So I said, okay. I'm going to send an email. I'll copy the letter from Pastor Philip, and I'll send it out. I have more than 1,000 now on my email that I send out letters almost every week. And I just simply put there, this is the letter that we received. Now, if God wants us to have a deaf camp, we need $3,000. I don't have it. I just paid $2,500 for tickets to fly. You can't cancel my tickets because I buy them cheap. Now, so I said, Lord, if you want us to have that deaf camp, we need $3,000. And I sent out the email and I said, we must know by next week or 2 weeks we're going to be flying out. The next week, I sent out another email. And if you know email in the subject line, I put in capital letters, STOP! And then in the letter, I explain that we had $3,000. In fact, I had to call one church that told me that they had mailed a $500 check, and that would have been $3,500. And so I called them and asked them what they wanted me to do with that money. Mail it back to them, or we could use it for other expenses in Kenya. God took care of the needs. Now, it would kind of be bad for me then to doubt if God can take care of my needs through my experience. But there's another way, and not only through the Word of God and experiences, but through examples. Through examples. And we have those all in the Bible, or we have them in books and printed forms and testimonies of other people. But the one that I was thinking about was in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. You remember I quoted that verse to you about being of a sound mind and a love and a power, not of fear. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul said to Timothy, I know your grandmother, I know your mother, I know their faith, and I know your faith. You see, it was because of Timothy's grandmother and because of his mother that he now had faith. He saw that in the lives of his grandmother and mother, and he copied it. Now, if Moses can have faith in God to do what he did, why can't I? If Joshua can march around Jericho 7 times and it looks ridiculous, but yet he was obedient to the word of God because he had faith in God, why can't I? That's examples for us to follow. So you can develop faith by word of God, by experience, and by example. But then there is this third point. The demonstration of faith. In James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, and these are familiar verses to you, but James asked, he said, you say that you have faith, show me. Because he later says, you just say you have faith, but I will show you my faith by my works, by my action. Okay? And I believe with all of my heart that in the perilous times that we are living now, God desires for his people to demonstrate, that's the word, to demonstrate our firm belief in God. Is anything about God diminished? Is the power of God less now than what it was in Moses' days or Joshua's days or Gideon's day? Is it any less powerful? No. Is the gospel any less powerful now than it was in the days when Paul traveled around and people by the hundreds were saved? No. It is that God is looking for people to demonstrate that faith in Him so that He can work. How do we know that Abraham had faith? He walked up that mountain with his son. And Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that he walked up there knowing that even if he killed his son, that God would raise him from the dead, because God had made a promise to him, and it was a promise through Isaac, his seed. He simply demonstrated the fact that he believed God, and it said that it was accounted unto him for righteousness without the deeds of the law. Now, how do we know that, say, for example, Moses or Noah? God said to Noah, build an ark, it's going to rain. Well, you know the story. It had never rained before. And there was no big ocean or anything around for a boat to float on. And yet, because it says that he feared God, he built an ark and he saved his family. It was by his actions that we know that he had faith in God. And I would say to you today that it's going to be by our actions. Our faith in God, people are going to know that. And I wrote down just a couple of things that we need to know, and the emphasis there on knowing the Scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing the Word of God, and if you do not know the Word of God, you cannot fully trust a God that you can't see, that you can't feel. It's just impossible. But it's in the Word of God that you read about Jesus, and that you're able in your daily life to apply this Word. It's not what Brother Jim preaches. It's not what Brother Pierce believes. It's not what Jim Sloan says and signs. It's what the Word of God says. And that faith comes as we study, meditate, and memorize the Word of God. And when people come up to you and say, why are you smiling? There's nothing to smile about. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, there is, brother. You see, you've heard this before. I've read the last chapter. I know. You may win some of the battles, but we're going to win the war. And I know that because the Word of God tells us. And I know that God cannot lie, and His Word is truth. But then not only do we need to know the Scriptures and be able to apply it in our daily lives, but we need to live a holy, consistent life before others. Others need to see that we are different from them. And the problem today is that Christians have become so much like the world in their dress and in their entertainment and all of these things that the world people cannot see the difference in Christians in the world. And one of the things that you will learn if you read through the Old Testament is that God wanted the Jewish people to be different than the people around them. And He called that a witness for Him. But then we need to be vocal about our trust in God. We need to let people know that we believe that God will provide for us. That's what He's promised, right? Yeah. That's what our brother said in Sunday school. And yet sometimes we doubt those promises that God has made to us. And it protects us. Our faith in God protects us. I am not foolish when I go to foreign countries. I don't go to places that I know that people just don't go. You know? And that's true in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I'll bet it's true in Bradenton, too. There are places that you will not go and go alone. Because it's dangerous. And I'm very careful. Just a week and 5 days after I left Paris, they shot up Paris. 130 people died. Probably where I was the last Sunday. I was in central Paris. And I was telling Brother Jim, I got lost. That's easy in Paris, okay? My instructions put me off at the wrong place. I got back on the bus and went to another place. And then everything changed so that when I got to the place where I was to get off of the bus and I knew to turn this way and the street was over here, go down there, and there's the church. Well, when I got off of the train and walked outside, which way do I go and where do I go? This train was in a different place than the bus. So I went to eat breakfast. That's the best thing to do when you don't know what to do, right? I sat down, ate breakfast. I asked the waiter, I said, you know where this is? Oh, yeah, you go down here and turn and do this and that. So when I finished eating, I went down there, turned. It didn't work. So I went back up there, and on that way, I saw another fellow, and I said, you know, oh, yeah, you go back, it's opposite direction, you know, go up here, and you go over. So I went up there, and I went over, and I saw a street that was named on mine. So I walked down to it was a dead end. It was supposed to connect to another street. Well, finally, I'm walking fast. I mean, I'm walking all over central Paris. That's where they shot up those places, central Paris. I finally saw three young people coming, and I stood right in front of them. And I said, I'm sorry, I am lost. One of them, in the providence of God, could speak English. The other two must not have been able to because they started talking. I said, you know this place right here? Oh, yeah, I can show you. And so they did, and I got to church 30 minutes after I was supposed to be there, but 15 minutes before I was supposed to preach. So it was all right. But I walked all over central Paris. That's where they went into that theater and shot all of those people and shot up the restaurant there. All of those restaurants have glass around the top with chairs and tables on the outside. And if you're sitting next to the window and somebody comes along the street with their machine guns and starts shooting, there's no way that you're going to survive it. But God can protect. He did. You remember the story of the three Hebrew children. They replied to the king, God is able to protect us, but if not, we're still not going to bow to you. God didn't take he didn't take the furnace away, did he? He went with them in the furnace. God can protect us, and we need to have that faith in God and power to do his work. You know, it's just impossible to do God's work without his power. And it's not something that you can buy. It's not something that you find wrapped up in a nice little package and you take it with you and you say, I've got the power of God. It's by faith that you appropriate the power of the Holy Spirit's power in you. Now, what I'm saying is this. We are living in a dangerous time, no doubt. And many people fear. The Bible, Jesus said, I think it was Jesus who said that in the end times people would fail because of their heart. Now, fear. Fear. The opposite of fear is faith. It's faith. We know that it all begins with salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, God does not give you a little certificate saying, on this particular day, you are saved and for eternity, here it is. You can put it in your Bible and you know that it's there. God doesn't do that, does he? I was not there when Jesus was crucified. I did not have the privilege, although some think I'm old enough, to live when Jesus lived on this earth and watched him. But I know that one day Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. And I believe that if Jesus were to stand here today, that might be his message to us in America. Have faith in God. If you've never been saved, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, could I encourage you to do that this morning? Do it before you leave this service. He's willing and able to save you. He's done the dying for you. He's paid for your sins. And if you will receive him, God will forgive you and give you everlasting life this morning. Maybe you're like the father who came to Jesus and he said, my daughter is very sick. And Jesus said, well, if you have faith, she's healed. And he replied this, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit now will work in the hearts and the lives of people here. Some needed the encouragement. They have been living by faith, and sometimes it gets so that we are not sure that everything is going to just work out like you have it planned. And I pray that this message would have increased their faith today. And then, Father, maybe some have never put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I pray, Father, that you will draw them by the Holy Spirit and by your word to receive Jesus as their Savior today. Help us to demonstrate our faith in you, believing that you want to work in these very dark days. Help us to be the instrument that you work through in demonstrating your power, your promise, and your provision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.